I talk about three stages. I'll just briefly mention them for the people who are new here. And again, all of the jargon I use, I mean, if I just use it because it's useful. I don't really believe any of it myself. Or it helps communicate things easily, but if it doesn't fit, don't worry about it. But in a first stage moment, you're doing something because you need something. So let's say she's being a... Well, how is she when she's a bitch in your terms? Like, is she screaming? Is she clamped down? Is she breaking things? Is she kicking you? Is she just subtle and vicious? So, does she make sounds, or is it a quiet viciousness? I'm just trying to get a feel for what you're talking about. What bothers you the most? Okay, so that's a perfect example, actually. There's a totally unique situation here. I don't think a man in here has ever felt cut down by their woman within the last 5 minutes. But I'll come back to that. Remind me if I don't come back to that. But I want to briefly describe these stages. So in the first stage, you're doing something for your sake. So she's going, you little prick, I hate your guts, you're nothing, I don't know what she's saying. And if you need her to be a certain way, that's what I call a first stage moment. So if you're in a first stage moment, and we fluctuate through these three stages moment by moment, then you go, I hate this, I can't stand this, what I need is for you to be blank. I need you to shut up, I need you to praise me, I need you to recognize my space, I need you to do this for me. I need this from you. Or maybe you just walk out because you need to be away from her when she's like that. But you do something because you need it. And we're all in those moments sometimes. That's a first stage moment. If we're a little more open, we're in a second stage moment. In a second stage moment, you share that space. So you go something like, I understand that you're angry. Do you understand that I need more quiet in order to receive your anger? Yes, I understand that you need to be. And so you kind of make an agreement where she gets to be angry. As long as she gives you a certain thing that you could handle, then you'll allow, you know, so like, look, you could be angry at me, but you can't hit me. That's just across the line. Do you understand that? Yes, I understand that. I'm going to be angry at you, but I'm not going to hit you. You know, you communicate and you make a deal, basically. That's the second stage that, you know, she gets to scream. If she gets to scream for 5 minutes and then shut up, and you'll scream for 5 minutes and shut up, and then you could, you know, that's a second stage deal. It's more open than just give me what I need. It's, I'll give you what you need if you give me what I need. It's a deal. It's a little more civil. You know, it's... It's less physically abusive usually because it's very verbal, that stage. People are sitting there talking to each other constantly. Well, I feel this way. Well, I feel this way. Well, do you hear what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it... And it goes on forever and it's better than just the first stage where one person tries to get what they want and the other person has to acquiesce. And so it's evolution, but it's not what I would like to do in this tonight or in any of the evening workshops or in my books or work weekends and intensives. It's about the third stage. So that's why I want to clarify this. There are therapies to help people talk about how they feel. That's not what we're doing. What we're doing is moving into the third stage, which is both of your hearts open to connect to the divine as fully as possible in every moment, including while she's being a bitch and you're being whatever word I'll use to describe you in a moment. So she's going wild for whatever reason, and you feel her energy all over and you want to claim your space for whatever reason. Now, my impulse is to help you guys do that. And fully connect heart to heart while you do it, and to open beyond yourselves even, and feel the infinite mystery that all of this is, including her bitchiness and your need for her not to be so bitchy. That's part of this infinite mystery, isn't it? It's not like God goes, everything is divine except these two people in this mood. You know what I mean? It's all just play in a way, but you have to be open to feel that. Otherwise, you're in a first stage moment of self-protection or a second stage moment of making a deal for safety. Now, having said that, what we recognize when we're open in the third stage is that there are two basic facets to this moment's existence. One is, and I know a lot of people here already know this, but I want everyone to know the words we'll use. One aspect of this moment is that you are conscious of this moment. So that aspect of you is consciousness. And the feeling of consciousness is kind of a vast empty, boundless, changeless, eternal being. Do you know what I mean when I say that? I mean, that aspect is the masculine aspect of the divine in everybody. Men, women, dogs, chairs. It's all consciousness. That's the masculine aspect. But it all appears very differently, moment by moment. If there's any appearance at all, that's the feminine. Any appearance, which is constantly changing, as you said, every possible change of face occurs. Consciousness manifests as everything, as flowers, as candles, as lights, as bodies, as moods, as words. All of that manifestation, all of that dance, all of that play, all of that change is the feminine. Constantly changing, never predictable, far too immense to kind of grasp and be able to control, although God we try. So the feminine is everything that changes, everything that moves, your body, your mind, your emotions, anything you could perceive is the feminine, that which perceives is the masculine. And we could talk later about more of that, but since people are born with a more masculine or feminine essence, which means they identify more with the masculine, unchanging, empty consciousness, or they identify more with light itself, the ever-changing life force of love. You have a masculine essence. I do too. Therefore, you identify more with consciousness, which that, what that means is that for you, things are good when things are not happening. So, like when you get into a discussion with her or an argument, the feeling is you hope that it gets resolved. And that desire to resolve things is a masculine impetus. The feminine has no desire to resolve things, so they're over. She doesn't go, well, I'm going to be angry to resolve something, and then it'll be over. Her masculine part might. You know, every man and woman has a masculine and feminine within them. But she identifies more with the feminine. You identify more with the masculine. That's why you're together. You always pick your reciprocal. What that means is that you'll always be trying to get things to nothingness. If you were really ballsy, it would be absolute nothingness, the nothingness of consciousness itself. But since most of us aren't that ballsy, what we do is we kind of just try to get things to be calm. So, you know, peace, you know, that's a masculine notion, you know, that peace means a lack of emotion, essentially. So what masculine identified people tend to do is they tend to mistake spiritual awareness with non-emotionality. Or nothing happening at all, actually. And so masculine people, like when their feminine partner, because you'll always attract your reciprocal, she'll be as feminine as you are masculine in your deep identity. There are shells around it, nuances that we may get into later next week and in the workshops we will, but for now let's just go with this. If you're sitting there in your room, I don't know what you do when you're just relaxing, watch TV, meditate, you're sitting there doing your thing, whatever that is, and she comes in an emotional mood, a state, I mean, really riled up. Very few masculine people go, oh, great, hi, come on in. You know, most masculine people, there's an initial feeling of, oh, shit. I mean, there's an inherent preference for the nothingness of consciousness, which means, do we have to get into this now? You know, I mean, it's just like, I'm trying to relax, you know, zone out in the TV, meditate on the nothingness of consciousness, read something, you know, you're doing your thing, which is, and then here in comes this hurricane, or what did you say, subtle viciousness? No, the Eden word is subtle. What? Something, subtle viciousness? I think you used a different word than subtle. Yeah. So here in comes this subtle viciousness, and it's like, oh God, I've got to deal with that now. Because subtle viciousness is something other than the nothingness that the masculine so enjoys. So at that point, a spiritual human being, as a man, has two choices. They could say, you know, that's distracting me from consciousness, so I'm going off to a cave where there are no women, or I'm going to a monastery where there are no women. And that's a valid choice. You could go to a monastery where there are no women and PMS does not exist. You know? It's a valid choice. You could go, only wear manar or in isolation, and you do not have to deal with huge, emotional, unpredictable, irrelevant cutdowns of you for no apparent reason other than their pleasure, which we'll get to in a moment. So, if you want to be celibate or homosexual, you could do that. However, if you prefer a sexual relationship with a woman, which for now you do, it seems, then the other two options are to be, I wrote a book called The Way of the Superior Man, so let's use that word. You could be a mediocre guy or a superior guy. You know, you could be a mediocre man or a superior man. Mediocre man kind of stays in the nothing, deals with it as much as necessary just to get back into the nothingness. You know, can't you shut the fuck up for a few seconds and then get back into watching TV? Or maybe, let's sit down for half an hour and really go through this. In the back of your mind, you're thinking, this will take care of it, you know, and you, like there's an it to take care of. You know, like you say, you think whatever you said made a difference. Do you want to, we could take a vote if it really made a difference. You know, we could ask people to raise their hand, especially her, and say, is it going to make a difference in a few days or a few weeks or by the end of the night? Doubtful. So, the masculine wants to bring things to an end because the masculine's at home in death and nothingness and consciousness itself with no change. Now, she, on the other hand, is equally as conscious as you, but is identified with light. She wants to be seen because she is light. She wants to be heard. Light meaning all of energy, full, you know, energy, life force. And the feeling of life force is love. You know, the more open someone is, like when they fall in love, they become very radiant. They shine. Light and love always go together. Life force, the more open you are energetically, the easier it is for love to flow. So she wants to feel an energetic connection with you too. She doesn't want to feel you going, yuck, energy. That will only, well, we're going to find out in a few days. It's going to make her even more angry. Now, again, you could be a mediocre man and kind of withdraw and hold back and temper it somewhat. Or, in the language of that book, The Way of the Superior Man, what you can do is realize that is consciousness too. Her energy is an aspect of consciousness, and it's her gift to you. Are you able to stand open as consciousness in the midst of her rage, in the midst of her subtle viciousness? Or do you go into a first stage moment of taking it personally? So let's take the worst possible scenario. She says, you have a small dick and you're a weak man and an utter failure and I hate you. Something like that. Close enough? So, what her depth, what her third stage depth wants to feel more than anything is that your consciousness, your stability as consciousness, which means your presence. Consciousness means your capacity to remain present. To be conscious is to be present. If someone hit me on the head and I got unconscious, I wouldn't be present anymore. And I could also just not be present because I start thinking of something and I could get emotionally involved in my own problems and I become less present because my consciousness gets wrapped up in something. So the more conscious you are, the more open your consciousness is, the more presence you are. And what she wants from you more than anything else, what every feminine being wants from a masculine being more than anything else, is a very deep, loving, passionate presence. And her deepest desire is to feel that she could do anything to you, especially the horrible things, and you don't even flinch. That she says, see, she's going like, no. You know, so she goes, you know, you small dick failure, I hate you. And you go, God, I love when you call me a small dick failure. And there's no collapse in that. Now, it's not something you can fake because she'll feel whether you're collapsing and just like acting this out or whether in fact you hear her and feel her without collapse. Now, she's probably referring to something that justifies, as you'll see how I'm using that word, her response. So in other words, maybe we'll do this tonight, maybe we won't. It's a fairly small group. It'd be good to start here, perhaps. But if we brought you up front here, for instance, and we just had all the women in the group start saying out loud all the things they intuitively felt they'd get pissed at in you immediately, you would hear, Well, just to see, I mean, I don't know, most of you ladies I've worked with before, so feel free and say this. Just raise your hand if you think you'd have something to tell him. Raise your hand if you think you'd have something to tell him. Okay. No, the women. Women, raise your hand if you feel you'd have something to reflect to him about what his woman might be not trusting. Okay. So you'd get all this stuff, and you'd realize, and when we did it, the other women who didn't raise their hand, they'd dive right in. So be like a feeding frenzy. I was watching TV the other day, and they showed sharks, you know, in a feeding frenzy, this piece of meat. Anyways. The feminine, see, as a man, I'm identified with consciousness, emptiness, you are too. So I could feel you present with me even when you're doing all kinds of bizarro energetic things, because I don't inhabit the energetic domain like women do. But your woman inhabits this domain where she feels every little thing about you. Right now, I mean, these are minor things to you and me, but not to her. Right now, you're looking at me, your head's kind of tilted, you're going like this. And see, the women are, I'm exaggerating, but I mean, how many women would be trusting me if I gave the talk like this? And that kind of thing to a man doesn't make a difference, because beneath any, I mean, I'm not even paying attention to your body, basically. I'm feeling you. She is body. She is the body of energy that everything is. That is her identity. It's not that she wants all that, everything to disappear and she could rest as consciousness. That's a masculine bias and desire. Her masculine part wants that, but because she's identified with the feminine, what she really wants is to be seen, to be known deep in her heart by you, by others, to be seen as who she truly is, deep in her heart, as light, as love, and to be claimed. For you to claim her deepest heart as consciousness claims this entire moment. Is that what you want? So, if in the moment, even just through your glance, the intensity of your conscious presence with her, just looking into her eyes, you're not claiming her heart as your chosen woman. And it doesn't have to be a big deal. I mean, sometimes you could make it a big deal. You could say things and do things that are big and spectacular. But simply through the intensity of your gaze, the unflinchingness of your presence, the way you're with her when she's in every mood, the humor you have in the midst of her moods, but not a belittling humor. I don't mean like making a joke out of her mood. I just mean your freedom. She could be anywhere, and you're wide open, feeling her heart, and relentless in your claim of her heart. You wild bitch, you are mine. I love you. And she might be reflecting all kinds of very good things for you, like your head's on crooked, you're doing things. And all of those things make women go crazy. The littlest things, like if you're talking to a woman, and you just do the, you know, you're just going like, well, you know, what I think, I'm really, you know, just touching your face like that is enough for most women to immediately distrust you. Little, I mean, itsy-bitsy things, like, slight tilt of the pelvis. I mean, I'm wearing a shirt you could hardly see, but just a slight tilt of my pelvis, and suddenly they're all laughing at me. She's doing that to you all the time. I mean, in your ways, you don't do those things, but so like what you just did with your mouth, what, just now, I don't know if you were aware of it, you just went like... Now, it didn't bother me. I'm kind of trained myself to notice those things. Actually, goddammit, I wish! No. It didn't really bother me because that's just not the dimension that interests me because I'm masculine. But for her, she's so tuned into that that if she's like in the middle of some deep emotional thing with you and you're like... that, even if you are trying to be present with you, her, that would diminish the connection, let's say. So anyways, to give an answer, and then we'll go on from here. If you want to claim your energy, that's a first stage moment, go for it. I'm uninterested in helping you do that. If you're doing it and you're both happy, great. That's a first stage moment. This is what I want to claim my energy, fine, do it. If you want to do a second stage thing of saying you could be angry, but you need to be angry this way, and give me the space to be this way while you're being angry this way, you could do that too, and I'm going to not be involved in that. That's a second stage thing. That's a great thing to do. It's just not my interest. If you want to find a way to make her heart open to God in the midst of her telling you you have a small dick and you're a failure and she doesn't trust you and she hates your guts. And if you want to know how in the midst of that to bloom her heart to God and to bloom your heart to God, that's what we're doing. So I wanted to tell you those three stages so you can get a feeling for what you really want, because I don't want to impose my desires onto you. If you want to claim your own space and that's your highest priority in the moment of her anger, do it. It's just not something that I would really want to occupy a workshop teaching you how to do. There are people who would teach you how to do that. So did that help address anything? So one practice you might do for, I'm heavy into practices. To me, I mean, it's one thing to talk about it. I mean, anyone could talk you into consciousness. I mean, all I have to do is say, like, you know, you are the observer of everything that's happening right now, right?
Yeah.
Rest is the observer. Rest is the witness of everything that's happening. And everyone just goes. And the whole room will just empty into this consciousness. And then as soon as you leave and take out your willy to have sex with her, you start arguing. Because consciousness does not sex make. You know, consciousness is the way it is. Consciousness is absolute truth. So is light, absolute truth. But absolute truth is fairly useless. It is the way it is. It's truth. It's what is. This is consciousness. This is light. No one can dispute that. But that doesn't help you fix your carburetor when your car breaks, and it doesn't help you do sex as an art, and it doesn't help you live your profession as a way of giving your deepest gift. It doesn't help you make music. It's just the way it is. So what's much more interesting to me is, fine, I mean, recognize that your consciousness, do that. That should be, that's to me like the lowest rung of practice. Do that. That has to be in place. You have to, for a man, or a man. You have to recognize that you are consciousness. But that's just like, you know, knowing how to walk. And then you've got, where can you walk to? You know what I mean? So once you recognize your consciousness, the question is, how do you live so that consciousness transforms all of your relationships, your sexual relationships, your friend relationships with other men or women, your work relationships, your relationship with your parents, with your children? How do you actually artfully allow consciousness to be fully manifest in those relationships? And then how do you create a culture? How do you create beauty, works of art from that place? How do you do music from that place? How do you do parenting from that place? So I would like to give you practices then that would allow you to manifest this. So what I would suggest, for instance, for the two of you is to go home tonight and don't wait 2 days. You know what it's like when you're in that state. I would go home and I would say that for 10 minutes, you just are the worst bitch you've ever been in your life. And think of and feel in him all the things that piss you off and that hate, you know, that bring up that feeling in you, or even make them up. It doesn't even matter if they're real. It doesn't matter if they're real in the moment. I mean, half of them aren't, but we'll get to that later. So you just feel what's pissing you off about him, or just what's pissing you off in general, or maybe it's not even pissing you off. Just fake it if you have to, but somehow manifest that energy so you get used to manifesting that energy, or your subtle viciousness. I don't know how you do subtle viciousness, but I'm sure you do. So you do your subtle viciousness, and while you do it, practice these things. Stay in eye contact with him. Practice feeling his heart, because as much of a jerk as he might be at times, he's chosen you. He loves you. You love her, don't you? So there's a part of his heart that's loving you, even though there's all kinds of other things that are going on. So stay in touch with his heart, look into his eyes, and just feel his heart as you're being vicious. And you learn to, and I'm talking to you, sir, now, while she's being vicious and saying or doing whatever she does in her subtle vicious way, just breathe in her energy like you'd breathe in a storm. You know, you like you walk out into a huge storm and just go, you know, it's wild, it's crazy, you can't predict it, you sometimes wish it wasn't there, but it's here, so why not enjoy it? So you breathe it in, gaze into her eyes, and feel the love in her heart. She's with you, she loves you, yes? So you feel into her heart's love, which is there in every moment. It might have all kinds of energies around it too. So feel through those energies into her heart, breathe in those energies, stay connected with her, and just do that for 10 minutes. And then if you practice that, it's like practicing playing the piano or practicing driving a car or practicing baking bread. You get better and better at it. So if you practice this 10 minutes a day and then a week from now it comes up for real, you'll know exactly how to practice in the midst of it. You'll have done it. And in instead of you going into the, I mean, let me rephrase that. Even though you know how to practice, you will definitely, I mean, I've been doing this for decades, and still when that energy walks into my room, it's just like, oh, Jesus. You know, it's just like, so there's that moment. And then you come to full practice. So you recognize that, you have the normal masculine response, which is that anything is worse than nothing. It's just the way the masculine is. So here comes something, damn. And then you inhale, breathe the energy, feel it completely open, feel her love, allow that dance to take place. Actually begin to train yourself to manifest consciousness, the depth of your love, the depth of your heart, in the midst of everything she offers you. And the worse she gets, the deeper you need to practice. But what's odd is that the deeper you practice, the worse she'll get. It's not, see, the masculine always thinks that, oh good, I'll do these practices and then I'll finally have, you know, the end. The relationship will be solved. This problem will be fixed. She won't, it gets worse. What happens is the more deeply you can relate, it gets worse from a masculine perspective. I'm speaking to you men to men. It's like the more you can stay stable as consciousness, there's still the masculine part of you goes, oh God, I'm pretty stable now, you know. And she comes up with stuff, you know, she has to feel that you're imperturbable. Her pleasure, her way, she wants to surrender to you. Her deepest heart wants to feel you're so trustable, that your consciousness is so wide and loving and real, that you won't collapse no matter what. And then she can totally surrender with you sexually, but in every way, just emotionally. She can give herself to you and know you'll open her to God in the midst of her worst moments. She can't trust you to do that if you have your own weird-ass reactions, you know what I mean? So what she'll do is she'll constantly, not intentionally, it's not something she thinks about, but naturally, you'll notice, when things are going really good, you'll be thinking, yeah, this is good. This is good. And in that moment, she'll go like, you know, and you'll feel like, where is this coming from? Things are perfect. Do you know what I'm talking about? That feeling? Those are the moments, that kind of manifestation of fiendishness in the midst of beauty. I don't know how to say it, but you know what I'm talking about. Beauty meaning nothingness for the masculine, of course. So she needs to feel that even now that you think you're such a great practitioner, maybe now that you are a great practitioner of this, can she get you now? More subtle viciousness, even more subtle and more vicious at the same time. And it's never ending. I mean, as long as there's an appearance, it will test you. As long as there's any appearance in consciousness, there will be, will you lose consciousness, so to speak? Will you identify with something other than consciousness? Will you become afraid? Will you close down? Will you need to pull away? All of those are, you lose. You know, we lose. So she will not get less bitchy the more present and conscious you get. You will help her feel her heart and your heart more. So as you stand in consciousness, she will feel your heart deeper and her heart deeper, and the blisses will become deeper, and that heart connection will become deeper, and that vicious testing of your collapse or not will become deeper and more subtle. And all the way down the line, it's a feeling, it gets more subtle. I mean, people look at you and go, you know, wow, you're so present. And inside you're going, fuck, it seems like everything's bothering the hell out of me. I mean, you don't feel a change because at every level you're being tested. It just gets more subtle and subtle. And soon it's just like, you know, you go like that and she goes like, oh, fuck you. You know, and you smile and you know, so you should enjoy this kind of gross level PMS stuff while it lasts, because, you know, I don't know. Is that okay, what I just said? Do you agree with what I just said, so he knows that you're along with this? Yeah? Okay. Are we done for the two of you for now, or do either of you still have questions?
Thank you.
Okay. Does anyone disagree with what I just said? Like, you have a grossly different experience, and women in here want your man to be unpresent and collapse when you call them wieners, and men love emotional problems in their women, and okay, just checking. The masculine wants out. And all forms of masculine spiritual practices are a way of diminishing involvement into total non-change. And when you do that genuinely, then you can stand as total non-change in the midst of total chaos without needing to back out. So that backing out that you do, that I do, everyone does it. It's not just you. We could ask for a raise of hands if we want. I mean, everyone will just raise their hands. Every man at a certain point goes, enough of this. Probably several times a day. I mean, there's big ways and little ways. There's like, you know, enough of this relationship for good. But then there's just all the little ways of like, just give me a few seconds. You know, I mean, you know. Is there, right? Okay. So, those are all forms of pseudo-freedom. The masculine always seeks freedom and the feminine always seeks love. So the main motivator of every feminine-identified person is they want more love flowing in their life, flowing through their body, flowing between them and their friends, them and their lovers, them and everyone. They want to feel more love flowing. They want deeper love. Their feminine wants deeper love. The masculine of everyone wants freedom. Freedom from everything. Freedom from constraint. Freedom from relationship. Freedom from responsibility. Freedom from commitments. Freedom from change, ultimately. Now, the deepest form of that freedom is identical to the deepest form of that love. The deepest form of freedom is to be wide open with no boundaries, and the deepest form of love is to be wide open with no boundaries. So at depth, love and freedom are identical, and that's why if you and your partner came together, you absolutely open as free consciousness, she absolutely alive as open light, you would be identical, you would be one, and sexually or just looking into each other's eyes or sitting at the dinner table. There's just a... You're bodily different, but you're one. Love, openness, freedom. Anything less than that third stage moment, however, you will feel you've got to do something to get free. She will feel she needs to do something so more love happens. You know? And to the masculine, it's bizarre because to the feminine, remember, love is life force. So if she could get a rise out of you, she's getting something rather than nothing. So see, to the masculine, the idea of love is translated into freedom. And so the idea of what love feels like is you're free. Like, but to the feminine, love doesn't feel necessarily like freedom. For instance, if you walk in and you totally ignore your woman day after day after day. I saw that. No. I know these guys. So if you walk in, it was one of these. if you walk in and you totally ignore your woman day after day after day, she'll do things like, I mean, she'll do things that in your mind seem bizarre, like, you know, be sitting in your car. Bam! Into the, oops! Oh, I'm sorry, I broke the car today, dear. Just to feel you go, you did what? I mean, that would have been more attention than you gave her last week. So that amount of energy is still more love, more energy than you gave her all week. So she'll do all kinds of things that to the masculine, you go like, you want love, so you broke my stereo. You know, you want love, so you forgot this thing I told you, you promised you'd do. You know, anything to piss you off, to hurt you, to collapse you, just to feel something, to have some interaction with you. Now, I'm talking about worst case scenario here. So, she wants to feel this connection with you, and she'll do anything to get it. And ultimately, what it takes is for her to create that connection through real love, not pseudo-love. Pseudo-energy. Likewise, ultimately, you need to offer your gift of consciousness or depth to your... I keep pointing to her. Sorry. You need to offer your depth. Really, run! Well, you still can. So, you need to offer your depth of consciousness rather than the pseudo-freedom. You need to be free with her, totally connected with her, and free, rather than needing to go, I need time, you know, of course everyone needs time. I'm not talking about the occasional times of everyone needs some time alone. I'm talking about moments when you're afraid, moments when you feel trapped, you don't have what it takes to stay open in it, and so you know you're being weak, you know you're afraid, and you back off somehow. You close down, you turn away, you watch TV, you leave. Those kinds of ways of creating pseudo-freedom will attract women who create pseudo-love. So the more you're like that, the more the women you'll tend to attract will be women who do things to create emotional flow where there wouldn't be any otherwise that are less than what she really wants. In other words, you'll get women who break your stereos and lie to you and just create havoc in your life just for the sake of feeling you to the extent that you need that pseudo-freedom. Do you know what I'm talking about?